Chris Sims.
And I'm Todd McKay.
This is the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. We're dedicated to lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. In this episode, we're going to take a deep dive into Toronto's plan to spend billions on a park and then send the bill to taxpayers across Canada. And in Waste Watch, we're going to tell you about the federal government spending tens of thousands of dollars to fly a jazz band around the world.
You know, I listened to some of that jazz music. I gave it a spin. Sounds pretty good. The bill for taxpayers, not so much. So we're going to have to talk about that. But first, we need to talk about the political equivalent of Mr. Burns butting in line at a soup kitchen.
That sounds like an excellent Simpsons episode. Hey, Moneybags Burns doesn't need that soup.
Exactly. So why is Alberta's United Conservative Party, which brought in more than $7 million last year, now taking more taxpayer subsidies that are meant for struggling Canadians?
Why indeed?
You know, a lot of people are hurting right now. Many people have lost their jobs. Almost everybody's taken pay cuts. Businesses are boarded up. It's tough out there. But the United Conservative Party in Alberta, not hurting. In the first quarter of this year, it raised $1 million. And yet, the news broke that it's cashing in on the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy. So that's the federal subsidy that the Trudeau government rolled out to help businesses during the COVID-19 shutdown. It's paying about $100 a week to workers in the hope that businesses can keep people on staff. It's the whole point is for struggling businesses, barely keeping their heads above water, to try to keep some of their employees so when things shake out, they can get back rolling. Mm-hmm. But of course, all of this is completely funded by taxpayers. And now some of the political parties are wedging themselves up to the trough and sticking their snouts in. So our Alberta director, Franco Terrazano, he's been all over this. He's been all over the media on this. He's taking Premier Jason Kenney to task because he's doing the wrong thing. He's taking taxpayers' money that he doesn't need that's meant for struggling Canadians. We're going to be all over this one.
For sure. And federally, many of them are taking it too. All of the major political parties are taking this subsidy except for the Bloc, which is interesting. We've sent out updates to our supporters asking them to tell politicians to give the money back, and it's working. In fact, every single Conservative Party leadership candidate has come out against their own party taking the subsidy, which is awkward. We should also keep in mind that Canadian political parties already get big breaks from taxpayers. So when people donate to a political party, they actually get a much bigger tax credit back than they would if they donated to a charity like the Red Cross. So here in BC, for example, donate $100 to a political party, you get a $75 tax credit back. But if you donate that same $100 to the Red Cross or the Terry Fox Foundation, you get a tax credit for about $20.
You know, you got to be a pretty hardcore political hack to think that it makes sense to give bigger tax credits when you donate to a political party than to a charity. Mm-hmm. That's pretty high level hackery. And actually, it gets worse than that. After election campaigns, parties put together all their campaign expenses, put together the receipts, fire them into the government, and taxpayers end up being on the hook for a good chunk of that money as well. The mm-hmm. bottom line is political parties already get a ton of taxpayers' money. They don't need to be dipping into these wage subsidies that are meant for struggling Canadians. Political parties can make their own way. They're already getting enough from the trough. So check out the show notes and on taxpayer.com because we've got a petition telling politicians to pay back that subsidy. We've already squeezed the conservative candidates federally pretty hard. Mm-hmm. We've got them back in line. We need to get the rest in line. Check out that petition and give it a signature.
Before we go, should we talk about us? Should we talk about the Taxpayers Federation?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's always a little bit awkward to turn the mirror back to ourselves. But let me be very, very clear on this. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation is not taking the wage subsidy. We don't even give out tax credits for our donations. We don't take a dime from government. Our donors support us because they believe in lower taxes, less waste, and accountable government. We don't take a dime from taxpayers, period.
Coming up next, Todd's going to take a deep dive and find out why the city of Toronto is trying to spend billions of dollars on a park with Ontario director Jasmine Pickle. Stay with us.
time for Deep Dive. This is the part of the show where we get deeper into important issues. We've got Jasmine Pickle here. She's our Ontario director. Jasmine, what do you want to talk about today?
Todd, you live in Moose Jaw, and I've got to tell you about something the mayor of Toronto thinks that you should pay for. John Tory is putting in a multi-billion dollar park downtown Toronto, and he thinks that taxpayers from across the country should help him pay for it. And let me quote from his financial strategy about how the city plans to pay for the park. And I quote, "Federal and or provincial contributions will be sought through upcoming intergovernmental negotiations, taking into account an assessment of potential economic and fiscal impacts." So in other words, Mayor Tory thinks that over time, this park is going to pay for itself. So he's going to go to the guy who thinks budgets balance themselves, which is the Prime Minister, and he's going to ask him for federal tax money to go into this project in Toronto.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like this is going to be a really tough sell in Moose Jaw.
Todd, it gets worse. So this week, we had a professional construction consulting firm crunch the numbers for us, and it looks like this project's going to be way over budget by billions.
Government projects always seem to go over budget. This is getting worse.
And on top of it all, Mayor Tory says Toronto's broke. And as you may have seen, he's begging the federal government for money and also the provincial government. Check out this clip.
"We would be left with a city that can't work, and it would be unable to keep helping the people who rely on that help the most. I have been working nonstop to bring this to the attention of the other governments and to secure their funding commitments, and that work will continue. I said the other day on television, I've had a lot of encouraging words, but encouraging words don't buy childcare, and they don't buy transit service, and they don't buy help for the homeless people. They don't buy anything, quite frankly."
So that was Toronto Mayor John Tory begging for money. But to recap, he's also planning to spend billions on a mega park scheme that's going to go billions over budget, and he wants taxpayers across Canada to pay for it. You know, I just checked my smartwatch. I think I've got my blood pressure going up just talking about this.
Well, don't worry, Todd. I'm going to stay on top of Tory to make sure that he doesn't get away with this. And as you know, at the CTF, we've fought expensive politician pet projects before.
Yeah, the fighting part, that part's the fun part. I'll be honest with you. But tell us more about Mayor John Tory's crazy Toronto Sky Park plan.
So a mere 4 days after Tory went out begging for money from the federal government, his colleague on Toronto City Council, Joe Cressy, confirmed that the city's going full steam ahead with its plans to build this multi-billion dollar park.
You know, that's an incredible price tag. So I did some quick checking. Mayor Tory wants to spend more on this park than the province of Saskatchewan spends on infrastructure in total, its whole infrastructure budget. What kind of crazy park is this?
So it's basically a park that's going in the airway above where all of the railways come into Toronto Union Station. So it's going on the west side. And if you think about just how busy that area is with rail traffic, a lot of people might not know this, but Union Station is actually Canada's busiest transportation hub. And more people go in and out of Union Station every day than they do Toronto Pearson Airport. So this is a really complex project, a park being built in the sky above the busiest transportation hub in Canada.
Yeah, I'm not a city planner, but building a huge park over top of a huge rail yard in downtown Toronto, that's going to be pretty expensive. And that sounds kind of crazy because Toronto's broke after this pandemic.
So it was crazy when the mayor was pretending it was $1.7 billion. I mean, that's a lot of money for a park, but that's what the mayor is pretending that it's going to cost. So we thought that, you know, taxpayers need to know the real cost of this project. We know it's going to be way more. So that's why last week we released a study showing that John Tory's mega park prep project will actually cost at least, get this, Todd, $3.8 billion. And that's double his current estimate of 1.7. But it's probably going to be way more because we were really conservative in our estimation.
Yeah, so the bill, we're looking at the bill actually doubling before they even get a shovel in the ground. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, and actually before the show, I did a quick calculation. So you could actually send every single Toronto resident on a round-trip flight to Disney World 3.5 times for the same price that this one park is going to cost.
Yeah, you know, you got a spending problem when you could save money by sending millions of people on trips to Disney World. Why is this so expensive?
Well, if you think about it, Todd, the average fair market value for just 1 acre of land in the prime real estate in downtown Toronto is often $100 million, if not more. And this park that the mayor wants to build would be 20 acres.
Okay, so then just paying for the dirt to put this on is going to put the project at $2 billion. Isn't that right?
Well, it actually gets even more complicated because where the mayor wants to build the park isn't even really on ground. It's in the air in the railways downtown. So technically, the city wouldn't have to buy the land, but they would need to buy the air rights before they could build the park.
Okay, so they're not building it on the ground. They're going to build it on a great big platform in the air over the rail yards, but they got to pay for the air. Have they paid for this air yet? Do they even have the air?
Well, that's where it gets even more complicated. So apparently, there are 4 different groups that currently own the air rights where Tory wants to build the park. But the city claims that they've been negotiating with these 4 groups for years. But if you ask the 4 groups, they'll say that the city hasn't even come close to offering fair market value for the air rights.
Okay, so let's go back to the start here. The city says it's going to cost $1.7 billion, but that doesn't even factor in the cost of the land to build it on, or in this case, the air to build it in. This is bizarre.
Yeah, so we already knew that the city was going to downplay the actual cost, but we found out with our report this week that was done, again, by a professional engineering consulting firm, that they're just way off. There's so many other costs, even aside from the air rights, that they haven't included.
Okay, so tell us about some of the other costs that the city is forgetting about.
So one of the biggest costs that we found that they had left out conveniently was financing. So whereas most people understand that you have to pay interest if you're going to finance a project, and let's face it, if Tory's already asking the federal government for COVID money as a bailout right now, he probably doesn't have this money socked away somewhere. He's probably going to finance the entire project. And if he does that, financing costs could approach $1.5 billion.
It's incredible that they could just leave the financing costs off the projections here. If you think about it, buying a house, you look at the selling price of the house, but you also figure out your mortgage payments, which include the interest costs. How in the world could Mayor Tory think it's a good idea to go ahead with a park without even figuring out the interest costs on all of this truckload of money he's got to borrow?
So apparently the city of Toronto just didn't get the memo that you have to pay interest when you finance a project. So I really hope they read our report because there's a lot of good info in there. But another quick note on financing, the bigger the risk, the higher the rate you're going to pay. And if you look at Canada and Ontario right now, Canada's approaching $1 trillion in debt. Ontario's deficit just quadrupled. Clearly the cost of financing could go through the roof on this project.
You know, the fact that we're even bringing in federal and provincial taxpayers into this equation is making my blood pressure go up again.
Look, Todd, I don't blame you. I've lived downtown Toronto for the last 6 years, and I'm mad that the government's spending money on this project right now, especially when you consider that there were actually private offers with development companies to build some of this parkland on their own dime. So I can't imagine how angry taxpayers outside of Toronto who can't even use the park, I can't imagine how angry they must be.
It's maddening. It's maddening. You know, it's bad enough for Torontonians to get stuck with this bill. They can't afford it right now. None of us can afford, you know, luxury products like this. But to the idea that Musejavians have to pay for this, that Haligonians have to pay for this, it's crazy. It's crazy. Mayor Tory shouldn't be spending our money. He shouldn't be spending Torontonians' money on this, but he definitely shouldn't be spending the rest of our money.
And not only that, but he at least owes them the decency of being honest and transparent about how much this park will actually cost instead of pretending it's going to be half the price.
Okay, Jasmine. So I know you did a lot of media on this. You really made a splash with that report pointing out what the sticker shock is really going to be on this. I'm curious to know, how did the city react to your numbers?
So Joe Cressy, who's the counselor for Spadina Fort York, where the park would go, he was interviewed in the same CBC segment that I was, and he had the following to say about our report on the increased cost of the park. And I quote, "I can't comment on whatever math they've done." He also said, "When Central Park was created, there were critics at the time. When Millennium Park in Chicago was recently created, there were critics at the time. Well, the minute they opened, those critics quickly disappeared."
He can't comment on the math. He's going to spend billions of dollars and he can't do a little, you know, at least back of the napkin figuring. Like, we're going to have to send him a calculator, because I can tell him one thing. Critics at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we don't disappear fast. He's going to have to live with these numbers for a while.
Yeah, for sure. And since he mentioned it, let's just consider Millennium Park for a minute, because it is a park that people have often used as a comparison, because what it shares in common is that it too was built over a railway leading into Chicago. So according to the city's own reports, Toronto's own costing of its own project, Millennium Park in Chicago cost $33 million per acre to build. So when you look at even our conservative estimates of the cost of Rail Deck Park in Toronto, it's already crept up to $189 million an acre, which is nearly six times more expensive already than Millennium Park would have cost to build in Chicago. And like I said, our estimates are really conservative. There's still a lot of costs that we couldn't even include right now.
Okay, so that's a pretty big leap. And I've got to say, Chicago City Hall doesn't have the reputation of being super frugal. So what's the problem in Toronto? How come they can't even do a project for many multiples of the price they paid in Chicago?
Well, last summer, Toronto City Council voted to opt out of provincial competitiveness legislation, which would have opened up the city's construction contract bidding process to non-union groups. So now every single construction project that's done in the city of Toronto is only allowed to be done by unionized groups, which, as you know, just lets costs skyrocket.
You know, it's almost like they're not trying to save money. Yeah, everybody who's got done a kitchen reno knows you shop around, you get quotes from multiple contractors. You don't just, you know, narrow it down to a select few. What are they doing over there in Toronto?
Well, exactly, Todd, because when you look at what happened in the city of Waterloo, which is not far from Toronto, they estimated that by simply allowing non-unionized groups to bid, they saved up to 30% on these construction projects.
You know, it's just another example of something I think that's obvious to all of us who watch government spending. Governments always like to fix their money problems by asking for more money from taxpayers or more money from other governments, which of course is just more money from taxpayers. But the reality is, governments wouldn't need to beg for money all the time if they just managed the money they already have with some sort of semi-sanity.
So Todd, that's exactly what happened last year. So Joe Cressy was saying, and I quote, "People will die if the province doesn't hand over $1 billion to the city for public health funding." But now that exact same politician, Joe Cressy, wants to spend four times that amount, about $4 billion, on a floating park vanity project.
Yeah, and it sounds like Mayor John Tory's got both hands out for funding too. One hand to patch the hole left by COVID-19 in his city budget, and the other hand out for this mega park and all the money he needs to pay for that. So what can our listeners from across the country do to stop their taxes from getting blown on this crazy runaway park project?
Todd, we need to send Federal Infrastructure Minister Catherine McKenna a really clear message that she needs to say no to this project.
Okay, so Minister McKenna is the one who gave millions of dollars to Loblaws to buy refrigerators. So we're going to have to make this message pretty loud and pretty clear.
Well, we've launched a petition on our website, taxpayer.com, and we're building a campaign to do exactly that.
I know that there are people who are cynical and apathetic, but listen, we can make a difference. So last summer, our Atlantic director, Paige McPherson, launched a campaign to stop Ottawa from spending millions on a private airport for a luxury golf course. We collected thousands of signatures from all across the country. And here's the key part. We teed up everybody who signed that petition to blast the minister's office on the same day. I don't think the minister could open an email or answer the phone without getting hammered by an angry taxpayer. And lo and behold, the very next day she came out and said, nope, no taxpayers' money for a luxury golf course to get a private airport. We shut that down. We can make a difference.
100%, Todd. There's power in numbers, and we've already got Toronto City Hall on the defensive in the media. So now we've just got to hit them hard. So this is going to be a tough campaign, but I know we can do it.
And so, yeah, if you want to help us out to stop Mayor Tory and Minister McKenna from spending billions of dollars of your money on Toronto's crazy Sky Park scheme, check out the show notes or go to taxpayer.com, sign our petition.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Sorry for interrupting the podcast, but I wanted to take a few seconds of your time to tell you more about the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. We are 235,000 Canadians from coast to coast that are fed up. We are fed up with politicians taking too much out of our paychecks, often to waste it on a bunch of pet projects, corporate welfare, and pork barreling to buy votes. We organize campaigns to push back on these politicians. These campaigns often include petition drives, billboards, media stunts, and more. But most importantly, they ask our supporters to pitch in and take action. Alone, we're a voice in the wilderness. Together, we're an army to be reckoned with. You can join the fight and sign up at no cost at taxpayer.com. That website again is taxpayer.com. Okay, now back to the podcast.
It's time for Waste Watch. This is when we make fun of the dumb things that governments are spending your money on. Todd, what do you have for us today?
So I just discovered a new band that I'm listening to. It's called the Shuffle Demons. It's a jazz band from Toronto. They're great players, great on the horns, great bass, and they wear all kinds of crazy costumes. I tell you what, if they come to the Saskatoon Jazz Festival, I'm buying tickets. I'm probably going to even take my kids.
Cool name, very cool name. They sound like fun, but now please tell our listeners why the Shuffle Demons are making an appearance here in Waste Watch.
Well, they're on Waste Watch because Global Affairs Canada spent $20,000 to send the Shuffle Demons to Panama, Ecuador, and Nicaragua, according to documents that were dug up by our investigative reporter, James Wood.
Not so fun fact, it's Global Affairs that is the same department that spent $17,000 in taxpayers' money to fly a Canadian chef to India to make Indian food with Prime Minister Trudeau. And so now it's also flying jazz bands around the world.
Yeah, in fact, it's the same fund. It's the Mission Cultural Fund that's paying for this. Our investigative reporter, James, he actually reached out to the band. And I think it's fair to say, for obvious reasons, the band's going to have some different opinions than we have about this funding. But they're pretty good sports about answering our questions. In this case, Global Affairs funded the band's trip to Central America to play for Canada 150 celebrations.
You know, there's something really odd about taking $20,000 from Canadians to send a Canadian jazz band outside of Canada, but to play for the Canada 150 celebrations.
Yeah, and you know, the band, their explanation on this was that it raised morale for the embassy staff. It raised the band's international profile so that it could create more jobs and pay more taxes.
You know, I'm all for happy diplomats. It would be better if they could find cheaper ways of cheering themselves up with some music. And I'm all for creating jobs. But doesn't that usually happen when you sell tickets?
Oh, man. They would have to sell a lot of tickets to even things up for taxpayers. Over the past 6 years, the Shuffle Demons have gotten more than $360,000 from Canadian taxpayers.
Whew. Okay, so the median household income in Canada is about $60,000 a year, give or take. So when you do the math and break it down, that means that these grants for this one band cost more than six families' whole income for the year. I'm all for supporting musicians and artists and writers. Life would be very dull without them, frankly. But it doesn't seem right to force your average hardworking taxpayer to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on music that they may never hear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's exactly the same reason that we oppose using taxpayers' money to fund things like NHL hockey arenas. Yeah. Listen, I like hockey. on the rare occasion when I get a chance to go to a game, I get it. Part of the price of my ticket is paying for the concrete, you know, under my feet. Mm-hmm. But my neighbor shouldn't have to pay for a hockey arena through her taxes if she's not even a hockey fan. That doesn't make sense. And like I said, listen, if I get the chance to see the Shuffle Demons, if they drop by Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, listen, I'll be happy to go out and buy tickets. I'll bring my kids. I think they'd have a hoot. But people shouldn't be forced to pay for these things if they're not even going to enjoy them. They shouldn't have to pay for this stuff through their taxes. If you want to buy a ticket, great. Support the stuff you love, but you shouldn't have to pay for it with your taxes.
Absolutely. If our listeners right now want to know more about this, they can check out the show notes or they can head to our website, taxpayer.com. You can read the full story there.
And you know what? We're being tough on the Shuffle Demons and they deserve it. I'm not holding back on that front, but check out their song, Out of My House, Roach. It's pretty great.
Thanks for listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast.
And thanks to James Wood for editing the show, trying to keep some smart bits together in here for all of you folks. And thanks to him for introducing me to the Shuffle Demons. They got some pretty good tunes. Not so good on the bills for taxpayers, but, you know, they can play the horn okay. And also all of you, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe, like, share, and review the show. It helps us out a lot.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. If you've got another minute, I'd like to ask you to think about the one person you know that would really enjoy listening to this podcast. Do us a favor and do them a favor and send them a quick note to let them know about it. At the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we believe there is power in numbers. That's why we've worked so hard to build an army of taxpayers who are ready to push back. And we did it because people like you shared our work with that one person that they knew would really appreciate taking part. Thanks for listening, and thanks for doing your part to make Canada a better place.